robot headed for the United Kingdom. A panel of doctors recommended that she be shifted abroad to the UK centre, which has the capability to provide integrated care to children who have sustained severe injuries. A cheerful schoolgirl who had wanted to become a doctor before agreeing to her father's wishes that she strive to be a politician has become a potent symbol of resistance against the Taliban's efforts to deprive girls of an education. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Senator Arlen Specter lost his fight with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He died yesterday at his home in Philadelphia. He was 82. This is NBC News Radio. Both presidential candidates are now intensely focused on a single goal, turning in the better performance in tomorrow's second debate. Here's NBC's Tracy Potts.
Veronica, good morning. Aides say that the president has seen the tape of the last debate, that he was disappointed, and that he doesn't plan to make the same mistakes again.
Mitt Romney's doing debate prep on the road. Saturday, he was in Ohio.
The first study to compare medical records of girls vaccinated for cervical cancer shows it does not make them more promiscuous. Fearless Felix Baumgartner has become the first person to break the sound barrier without a plane. He made a skydive for more than 24 miles above the Earth.
I think the most exciting moment was when I was standing outside on top of the world, just 30 seconds before I'm stepping off.
And the Space Shuttle Endeavour is finally at its new home, the California Science Center in Los Angeles. Hundreds of thousands line the streets to watch it pass by. It'll be open to the public on October 30th. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
1. Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. 2. Turns information into insights. 3. Improves efficiency. 4. Easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. 5. Supports online banking. 6. Creates and manages budgets. What?
6. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
Several of the biggest big banks have faced accusations of improper mortgage lending practices heading toward the 2008 financial meltdown. In recent days, some of those have been sued. Another suit could drop today, this one brought by the ACLU. New York Times reports the group is accusing Morgan Stanley of financing risky, expensive subprime mortgages that targeted African-American borrowers. Those troubled mortgages offered by New Century Financial. You've heard and seen the commercials for low-cost cell phone plans designed mainly for seniors. They are no frills, no data plans for the most part, but research finds seniors are ever bigger users of data, even while service providers remain stuck in the 1990s. Pew Research Center finds 16% of seniors now use data with their cell phone plans, compared to less than half that just 3 years ago. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 7, NASDAQ futures up 18, most markets in Europe also higher. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned. It's convenient and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Attention homeowners. If your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Monday, the 15th day of October 2012, and we begin another week 22 days away from the general election. So much at stake, so much to talk about, so much to get to, and I promise we're going to do our very best to get to all of it before we get out of here at 10 a.m. this morning. And again, it's just it's a blustery day out there. Certainly calls to mind a little Winnie the Pooh, does it not? It's really kind of nasty outside, but that's okay. It's that time of year. Kind of one of those days where you don't want to open an umbrella because you will lose it. Whether it's thrown from your hands or turned inside out, it is definitely that kind of day out there. And I think it promises to be like that all day long. Well, as we look toward the week and we look back briefly over the weekend, my oh my, it just seems like we didn't have a weekend in some regards. I was very busy between Saturday and Sunday. Yesterday, and I'll speak about this a little bit later on, yesterday I was out at Teamsters Local 299. They had a special general membership meeting where they brought the troops together. President Hoffa was there. President Moore was there. The Joint Council was represented. And they were kind enough to offer to have me come in and speak to their passionate and proactive membership. And it was an honor to do that. And we'll speak about that a little bit more later on in today's program. But coming up on today's show, we revisit Kevin Hawley. Kevin, of course, is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive. He continues to bring up solid issues, which both the media and the Patterson campaign are ignoring. So I guess if they don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. That's a question, not a statement. We'll talk to Kevin Hawley at 7 o'clock. We'll talk with John Freeman, the State Director for Protect Your Care Michigan. Some changes coming up with regard to the Affordable Care Act that you need to know about. Chairman Mark Brewer joins us at 8 o'clock. He's got a laundry list of things to get to, including some important endorsements for candidates around the area and around the state. Christine Berry joins us in our blog roll segment. We take another look at handgun legislation. You scratch your head and say, why? Well, because some of it is, well, Orwellian in nature. We'll talk about that. A candidate for the State House, Dorian Costin, joins us just after 9 o'clock as we continue to take a look at candidates around the area that would like your attention. Joe Rahm, an expert from the Center for American Progress on Climate Change. Why does he get ignored when everything he has to say is profoundly correct and backed with science? Well, we'll ask him that question at 9:35. And then, finally, at 9:50, yeah, we've got a busy day today. We're going to visit with the director of PPAN. They are a national union that protects the rights and does collective bargaining for those in security and safety in plants all over the country. Ignoring the Wagner Act, Ford Motor Company is looking to push them out. I'm going to ask you to join me later on this morning for an informational picket out at the Wayne Assembly Plant, which is where I'm headed right after today's show. But with all that said, we don't get started till we do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Supportive. Today's first word is supportive. This time of year, I think it's important that we're supportive of one another. I think it's important that we're supportive of our candidates and our issues. I think that let's bring it full circle. It's really about how we do support each other. And why is that so important? Well, in my world, of course, that would be the union world. Solidarity is the first word that comes to mind. But this word support means to hold something up, to carry, to really, in its most pure way, to reaffirm or affirm something that matters. And as we look to explore the issues that matter to us right now, it is clearly important that we, now more than ever, with 22 days remaining, start to show that support in much more obvious ways. Don't be afraid to speak up and speak out. Don't be afraid to talk to your friends, your neighbors, your families, to complete strangers about the importance of not only the candidates, but the issues that matter to you. Right now, of course, our big focus is on Proposal 2, but that does not mean that there aren't other issues that deserve attention. And folks, we can multitask. We can, as we know, as good liberals, we can care about more than one thing at a time, and we are very good at doing that. That's because we support what we know to be what is wholesome and best for our societies, our communities, and our country. So, as we look to make sure that we win come November 6th, one of the best ways to make sure we do that is to reach out and show support. Be supportive of, again, those issues and those things that matter. That's right. It's just time to step up and do the right thing. And today's first word is supportive.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings for the third time in 11 years. Are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome back everybody to today's program. Take a look at what was a pretty busy weekend, but before we do any of that, let's say good morning to Anthony, and wowza, 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 Anthony. Unless you're a Michigan State fan, I don't know, the weekend could get much better.
Could it even be that, Matt? I mean, after the way the Lions came back and, God, the Tigers took the first two from the Yankees, how great.
Yeah, it was just an amazing weekend. Why don't we start with Saturday? And what begins the day Saturday, sports-wise, of course, is Michigan State. Oh, Anthony, Michigan State and Iowa. Now, listen, it was uninspired. It was less than creative. Certainly defensively they played okay, but just okay. There was chaos on the field right before the half, if you were watching, Michigan State had a chance to kick a field goal had they have used their time properly. They mismanaged their personnel. They mismanaged their time. And that 3 points, that potential 3 points, cost them dearly in the end as they end up losing in overtime.
Yeah, it was funny seeing D'Antonio after that because he kind of just grinned in the interview and didn't even really have anything to say. It was funny seeing him lose his train of thought.
Well, yeah, what you're referring to, of course, is the sideline reporter grabbed Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio as he was leaving the field, and the first thing she asked him about was that last series, more importantly, the last two plays of the series, and yeah, he really didn't know what to say. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I don't know that I would have
known what to say. It's not, you know, the announcers were talking about, you know, you practice this stuff on Fridays, and they do. So,
yeah, I mean, at every level you practice that, which is shocking to see a quarterback run off the field thinking that the punting or the kicking team's coming out. I mean, the quarterback should be the last guy to be running off the field.
Thank you. So, anyway, that game is in the books. Michigan State pretty much out of any kind of Big Ten championship consideration. Can't even imagine the scenario in which they can win. It's the Legends division, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And it basically comes down to us and Iowa now because everybody's got about two losses now, I believe, besides us and Iowa.
He says us. By us, he means, of course, the University of Michigan. Anthony, a big Michigan fan. Not that I'm not, I am. And, of course, that game, well, it was literally laughable. Maybe not so funny if you're the Fighting Illini fan, but there was no question, both offensively and defensively, the University of Michigan showed up to play. Play they did, played well. They even got to rest some of their starters. And Denard Robinson still walks away with a massive day offensively, both in the air and on the ground. It's just amazing what they've been able to do with this young man.
It really is incredible just to watch him run out there. I mean, I know he did an all right job passing it, but he did have just a couple big 50-plus yard runs that just made your jaw drop.
You know, you got to wonder. I know he doesn't tie his shoes, which is why they call him Shoelace. You would think at some point, a coach at some point in his career would have said, dude, you know, they don't have to fall off when you cut. Because he, at least once a game, a shoe will fall off. The crazy thing is it doesn't slow him down.
Yeah, I don't get how he runs period without his shoes tied.
I don't either. You know, it's not like he wears them a size too small so they fit better or they're tighter, but... Yowza, he is something to watch. And, you know, as we talked last week, and this kid will most likely not even end up on a pro football team. But for the college game, he is well built. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back, finish this conversation up, talk about the Tigers and the Lions, and it was a good weekend. See, last weekend, not so good. All the Lions were on a bye last week. This week, a whole lot better. So, anyway, we'll get to all of that. When we continue here on First Shift, good Monday morning to you. 888-552-3595 is our number. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. We'll take the break and kick this thing in gear on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your commute, we picked up two accidents. First one's over on 12 Mile Road westbound at Telegraph, and it's blocking your right lane. Also, watch out for debris on northbound Telegraph. Northbound 75 at Dix-Toledo Highway, another accident that's also blocking your right lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday morning. We're still talking sports. Anthony joins me now. And, Anthony, just quickly back to the University of Michigan game. This sets up an interesting matchup next weekend as Michigan State travels to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. Now, as we know, Michigan has lost the last four against the Spartans. This is one they certainly, on paper, can win. But let's keep in mind that Michigan defense or Michigan State defense is awfully tough. And it's not like they haven't been game planning this Michigan game all season long. Let's not be foolish about it. They have.
Yeah, I'm still scared of Michigan State, even though they already have the three losses. It's still Michigan State. It's still the Big Ten. And, I mean, anybody could win that game. They've shut down Denard 3 years in a row now. So, I mean, he's obviously struggled against these guys.
Yep, no question about it. So it will be, I think it'll be as exciting as any of the games in the last decade, to be honest with you. And certainly Michigan wants to win this one, and this is one they desperately want, not just for the record. They want to, you know, Brady Hoke has accomplished pretty much, I think he's over-accomplished what he was asked to do this early on in his tenure, Anthony. But one of the things that has got to come up in that interview when you're interviewing a head coach for the Michigan job is, how do you plan to beat Michigan State? Well, maybe not that exact question, but I think you understand what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for Denard Robinson, this is his last goal to reach because he has the BCS victory. I mean, besides the Big Ten championship, he wants that. But, I mean, he's beaten Ohio State. He's beaten Notre Dame. I mean, Michigan State's like the last one on the checklist for a Michigan career.
Well, we'll find out on Saturday. They still have not announced what time the game on Saturday.
They did.
Oh, they did.
3:30.
Even better for you, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, that's that. Now we'll talk, let's turn, we'll save the Tigers for last. The Detroit Lions, Anthony, for three quarters yesterday, looked like a last-place team, because frankly, they are a last-place team, but somehow, somewhere, I don't know, in some magical altered universe, in the fourth quarter, they become the team that lives up to its talent. And I say that, because they've got a ton of talent and can't seem to figure out how to use it, until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't get it. They call plays differently in the fourth quarter. They actually throw it to Kelvin. They run the ball better. I really don't even get it anymore. I'm not even going to try to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did win in overtime. And they did, and frankly, they convincingly won. This was a game that they should have won, not necessarily in regulation, but it's a game they should have won because ultimately they played a better game than the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday.
Yeah, they did all around. I mean, their defense held McCoy, who's one of the top running backs in the league, to only 24 yards yesterday. I mean, the D-line just looked great. They were disruptive throughout the whole game.
And the entire defensive line looked great. Vandenbosch played his best game of the year. Cliff Averill was awesome. And Ndamukong Suh had a huge play by blocking that pass at the line of scrimmage that really did save the game. I mean,
yeah,
had that pass had been completed, the game could have been over at that point and probably would have been over at that point, but it didn't go that way. So they do win. In overtime, Jason Hansen, by the way, becomes the third leading scorer in NFL history yesterday. Third leading scorer in NFL history. And I'm sure that you heard during the game, the announcer said that not only is Jason Hansen 42 years old, he's the oldest player in the NFL and the only player over the age of 40.
Wow. That, I mean, it's just impressive that the guy can still kick it from, you know, 55, 60 yards out. It's incredible.
Yep. Not absolutely. So that's that. And last but not least, we need to restore the roar, and we're well on our way to doing that. Saturday's game, Anthony, was just downright scary. Now, one of the benefits to these games being on the weekend is I was able to watch both Saturday night and Sunday afternoon's games. Saturday night, I literally was just about to go to bed. It was just after 11 o'clock. They were in the eighth inning. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to stay. I might as well watch the rest of the game. It was going to be over in 5 minutes, right?
For you.
Yeah, not so much. I don't even know where to begin. Jose Valverde, unfortunately, gives up two-run homers, gives up to tie the game. The Tigers did win in overtime, but it should have never happened. And you know, they didn't use Valverde yesterday in a closing role. They used Phil Koch. Anthony, should they be done with Jose Valverde?
I mean, it's hard to say not to be done with him. I mean, he's had the two opportunities, obviously, against Oakland that we remember and the Yankees. And, I mean, as much as I liked him and as great as he was last year, you know, some guys just end, like, they're done sometimes. And he just doesn't seem to have, like, his location at all anymore.
No, it's unfortunate. And in fact, you know, this is the same thing that happened in Oakland. He was throwing strikes, but they were all fastballs, and they were all 90 miles an hour, which to you and I might be scary as hell, but to a major league ball player that knows how to hit, a ball down the middle of the plate at 90 miles an hour is a gift.
Yeah, I remember them commenting on that, and I don't know why he refuses to use that split finger that that's his, like, strikeout pitch.
Well, you've got to wonder if perhaps his arm is hurt, but, you know, at this point, nobody would believe it if that's what they're, if they were to say, hey, listen, we're going to put him on the DL for the rest of the season, nobody's going to believe that he's injured. No one. And it's just embarrassing. But they did win Saturday night 6-4 in 12 innings, and then yesterday, and the only reason I don't feel badly about that blown call at second base where Omar Infante was actually tagged out but they called him safe is that it didn't matter. What happened after that didn't matter. The Tigers won 3-0, but had all of that gone down the way it should have, they would have still won 1-0. So I'm not gonna feel too terribly bad about that victory.
Yeah, exactly.
So they do win yesterday. Now we come home, we have today off. Tomorrow night, Justin Verlander, who will be completely rested from his last start, goes up against the Yankees. And then after that, Scherzer, Max Scherzer. So we've got our two best pitchers in the next two games. Now, I'm not assuming that we're going to sweep them in four, although that would be nice. I do believe that, Anthony, at this point, you got to believe the Tigers. I know what happened in Oakland, but you've got to believe the Tigers have the upper hand. They're coming home. Your two best pitchers. The weather's going to be decent. It's not going to be too warm. It's not going to be too cold. Really, unless they absolutely implode, which is what the Yankees seem to be doing, and we'll remind this audience that Alex Rodriguez, who is the team captain, is out for the rest of the season because he fractured his ankle.
Jeter.
I'm sorry, Derek Jeter. fractured his ankle, making what looked like a routine play, but he twisted his ankle, fractured it. So he's done for the year. I feel bad for him, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, they lost Jeter. Their top four hitters besides him, A-Rod, Granderson, Cano, and Swisher, not any one of them has more than three hits. They have, like, 15 strikeouts apiece throughout the postseason. I mean, they've played really, really bad.
Yeah, what do you – I mean, listen, if this were the Tigers and we were home and this was happening to us, we would be booed too. But the Yankees, not only did they – were they booed, but they did not sell out yesterday's game, didn't come close to selling out yesterday's game.
Which is crazy
game.
To think of.
Yeah, in New York of all places. Right. And then at one point, Teixeira hits a foul ball. The fan grabbed it and threw it back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rough time over there for them right now.
Well, good going, Tigers. Again, they resume play tomorrow night. All right, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll get to politics, the business of politics, which is our purpose when we continue. Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your commute, we picked up two accidents. First one's over on 12 Mile Road westbound at Telegraph, and it's blocking your right lane. Also, watch out for debris on northbound Telegraph. Northbound 75 at Dix-Toledo Highway, another accident that's also blocking your right lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
In Mitt Romney's videoed Boca moment in a Boca Raton mansion, he candidly revealed his nasty little inner millionaire, glibly disparaging 47% of his fellow Americans, quote, who don't pay income taxes. Romney chided them as moochers who are living the life of Riley on Social Security, Medicare, and other government benefits. My job, Mitt assured his audience of fellow millionaires in the mansion, is not to worry about those people. Indeed, those people are now deemed the takers by the right-wing corporate class, while the Mitts among us naturally consider themselves the makers. That's a convenient construct by the 1% invented to rationalize their grabbing of 90% of the nation's income gains. But it's a plutocratic fantasy. The big takers, by far, are the Mittites, the corporate barons and private equity hucksters at the pinnacle of the income pyramid. They don't merely take $100 or so a month in food stamps to help make ends meet. Each of them can milk the tax code and sup at the subsidy trough for millions of dollars in annual government largesse. We saw this in action recently when Romney begrudgingly released a second year of his tax returns. Heavily obscured and manicured by his political henchmen, the amended filing shows that the privileged class is allowed to dodge its tax obligation to America by using loopholes and back-alley routes that subsidize their wealth. Structured income, trust shifting, estate planning, offshore havens, and other tricks are not even known about by regular citizens, much less available to them. This outlandish government largesse is reserved exclusively for the very, very rich. This is Jim Hightower saying, these plutocratic welfare takers living in glass mansions should not be throwing rocks at the rest of us.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film. I don't believe in hell. Well, in Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values, which we externalize into laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who's ultimately uses violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Trivium on 1310 WDTW. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trivium.
Oh, welcome back. I want to mention this throughout the morning because we're not going to be doing the actual interview for this until 9:50. But the Plant Protection Association National, which has for the last 71 years been responsible for the security and emergency response and safety at Ford Motor Company plants all over the country, is having an informational picket this morning at 10 a.m. Outside of Ford Motor Company's Michigan Assembly Complex in Wayne. It is the informational picket is to bring awareness to the public as to the plight of those workers who perform security, fire protection, and emergency response functions at Ford Motor Company plant and office work sites across the country. We are asking those that are listening this morning, if you can, to join us at the Wayne Assembly Plant. Now, it's going to start at 10. I'm going to go as soon as I'm off the air, so I should be there 10:30, 10:40 at the latest. They've asked me to speak briefly. I'm going to be interviewing their PPANS national president, Larry Daniels, at 9:50 this morning, and we'll get some details from him. But I will be mentioning this throughout the morning. So if this is something that you think you can do, we would appreciate your support in coming out there. The larger media, imagine this, has continued to ignore the plight of these hardworking men and women. What's at issue? At issue is a collective bargaining agreement or a contract, which the L.I. Barton, who is the new contractor of record for these plants, refuses to negotiate, which is, of course, a violation of the Wagner Act. But, well, we'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the show, and I'll certainly be mentioning it as we work our way through today's program. All right, let's take a look at some local stuff. Spotlight on the 11th Congressional District. WXYZ Channel 7 did an interview recently with Dave Kirsten and Dr. Syed Taj, who we have talked to on the show, especially Dr. Taj, numerous times, about the race in the 11th Congressional District. Let's hear what Channel 7 had to say about these two fine candidates.
For the two of you, time's our worst enemy here, but what will be the major issue for you if you get to Congress? What will you try to champion?
Certainly jobs. Job creation is the economic fuel to bring back our economy.
What can you do as one of 435 members of Congress to really create jobs? People always say that businesses create jobs, government doesn't. And that's arguable.
Well, a thriving manufacturing base, which has been the economic engine of this country, is what's necessary. You have to stop the incentives for companies to move offshore. Bring those jobs back home. We have to enact the American Jobs Act that will rebuild our infrastructure in this country, things that are absolutely necessary, our power grid, our roads, our dams, our ports. Those jobs are almost instant, and it will put up to 2 million people back to work almost instantly if we enact that bill.
You have a strong UAW background. I would trust that you would not be supportive of any kind of legislation that would support right-to-work laws.
Absolutely not. Right-to-work is only the right to work for less. It takes money out of workers' pockets. It gives it back to the companies and to the bonuses for the executives.
All right. Dr. Tosh, I want to make sure I get to you. What would be the major issue for you in Congress?
Well, obviously, you know, I just want to add on what David just said about the jobs. In order for the long-term success, we need to have education. That's very important. And healthcare is very close to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Do you support President Obama's healthcare program?
That's a nice blueprint, but I would have gone a little further because my philosophy as a physician is that every individual has a right to quality, affordable health care. So that's one thing which I would really pursue. But then I want to make sure that our seniors who have worked very hard all their life, their health care is saved, and I will never voucherize Medicare. And obviously, I will never privatize Social Security.
It was nice of Channel 7 to give both these men an opportunity, as we have. And, of course, Dr. Taj will be with us again on Wednesday, as we committed to getting him on a weekly basis leading up to the election itself. So be mindful that, you know, we will hear much more from him on the issues that matter. Dave Kirsten, again, just very quickly, because I know how confusing it gets. Dave Kirsten is running to fulfill Thad McCotter's term, which will end in January. So he will serve literally from November 7th to January, whatever that date is. I don't know what it is, 19th, 20th. Dr. Taj, if elected, will then serve in the next term. As Dave Kirsten reminded us when he was with us, if Kerry Bentivoglio, who is the Republican that is going to be on the ticket in both of those elections, gets elected on November 6th, then if he is, unfortunately, if you will, reelected on November 6th to the regular seat, he would have seniority over other freshmen coming in by 60 days, which we certainly don't want to see happen. Anyway, nice interview. Let's now listen to on Flashpoint yesterday, which is a program that I try to catch. Sometimes it's a challenge because I've got a lot going on Sundays, including the speech I gave yesterday morning to Teamsters Local 299. But they debated or talked about Prop 2 on Flashpoint, which is heard on or seen on WDIV Channel 4. This is what they had to say on Prop 2.
And why do I vote yes?
It's very simple. What we're asking for is to take the right to collectively bargain for wages, benefits, and working conditions, and enshrine that right in our state constitution. Rich said it well. This is only guaranteed by law, and the state legislature has been eroding that step by step in the last couple of years, and we believe that that's a fundamental right that every single worker in the state should have. And so we're asking that it be placed in the Constitution so that that cannot be tampered with. The vote for Proposal 2 comes down to this. Do you believe that that is a fundamental right that should be guaranteed in the Constitution, such as the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, or the right to bear arms, or should the legislature be able to tamper with that?
As a point of clarification, when you say everybody in Michigan, will you allow that this really feels like a debate over public employees, or is that not fair to...
Our proposal covers every employee in the state of Michigan.
It does, but it feels like it's seminally about...
Well, the legislature has attacked teachers, firefighters, police officers the most, nurses, and people who work in public service industries such as those.
Yeah.
Horace, your thoughts.
Well, you know, as a person whose father stood on Miller Road in 1941 to protect the rights of African Americans at Fort Motor when that right to organize was won, I see so many things in our state that we've been accustomed to as rights of workers being abridged, being taken away by the governor, being taken away by the legislature. I think that it's a fundamental right for unions to have collective bargaining, and that ought to be enshrined in the Constitution, not at the will or whim of a party or a governor or anyone else. We've seen other instances, for example, with the bridge, where even when the legislature voted, for example, not to have the state build that bridge, it being a bridge. So that's my fundamental concern.
And, you know, that's everybody's fundamental concern. And, you know, the reason that I was out at the Teamsters Local 299 yesterday with Kevin Moore and James Hoffa was to talk about the importance of Proposal 2. Now, maybe I was preaching to the choir, and I can't imagine there was anybody in that room yesterday morning that didn't understand it, because they did. They were passionate. They were engaged. They were energetic. It was really an amazing meeting, almost like a tent revival at some point. But it's important. It's important for us to remember that Proposal 2 enshrines in our Constitution a simple right to democracy in the workplace. And so the lies that are being told, Joe and I were talking briefly about this during the show, before the show, But it's this idea that somehow, you know, pedophiles come into the classroom or start driving our buses, or that teachers, God forbid, can sit and have cocktails in the classroom up to five times before they're fired, and the list goes on and on, is just ridiculous. And this idea that tenure, which the legislature has gutted, is somehow a bad thing, that it protects people. And I know what those on their side say. Well, we don't need tenure. If you do a good job and you're teaching these kids, well, that'll be fairly self-evident. And, we're going to put into place checks and balances to make sure that when you're, quote unquote, objectively evaluated, that it is an accurate reflection of what's going on in the classroom, only if, or if only. Oh, man, oh, man. Why, you know, when the other side, and this is true on any issue, resorts to literal, bold-faced, I mean, lies, and that's all the proponents of Proposal 2 are doing, are lying. You know, some of these commercials, I think the symbolism's important. Sheriff Napoleon, Prosecutor Smith, a police officer, others in that commercial that says, you know, I support Proposal 2. It's because it's clear that people, good, kind-hearted, compassionate, loving people understand the reality of not having the right to collective bargain. It's critical. It's important. And as we learned on this very show last week, economically, since the advent of an attack on unions, median income has dropped steadily. And not only has union membership dropped, but the ability to make a decent living has dropped as well as the poverty rate continues to grow. All right, more to get to on the other side. How is the president faring here in Michigan? How is he doing nationally? What do the polls tell us, not only after the debate, or debates, if you will, but after the last 2 weeks in general? Well, we'll talk about that in detail when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
With
the blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say, you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rule.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome. Appreciate you punching back in. It is a Monday morning First Shift radio program. We are going to go to the phones. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is pretty simple. Do you support Proposal 1, which would be to repeal it? So you would be voting no on Proposal 1. So go ahead and check that out. Let's go to the phones and welcome Dave in Redford to First Shift. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for punching in.
You're welcome, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was calling about Proposal 2. You think this is just a preemptive strike against becoming a right-to-work state, or... Because isn't it federal law right now that people have the right to collective bargain? I mean, I've worked at a place where we've had a number of elections over the years.
Well, people do have a... I don't know if it's a federal law. Federal law is a kind of... how do I put this? They create an outline, an infrastructure for rights in the workplace, but not necessarily... The language doesn't necessarily say the right federally recognized to collective bargain, but there are obviously certain laws, Dave, that eliminate discrimination and such other things. But I don't think it gives us a right, literally a right to collective bargain. Is it a preemptive strike? Well, not just preemptive. It's also addressing the over 200 pieces of legislation that have weakened collective bargaining, that have taken rights away from people in the workplace, and that have most significantly impacted the middle class. So, yes, it is somewhat preemptive, but I think it's also responsive.
Great. Well, that's good. What kind of rights have been taken away? I mean, if it's not a right now.
Well, as an example, tenure for teachers. Away. You know, I had mentioned, and Dave, thanks for your call. I had mentioned tenure for teachers. We weakened those rules. And so people automatically think tenure means a teacher can't get fired. And that's not what it is. Tenure is a process of due process. That if you as a teacher are accused of doing something, or if you are underperforming, you're evaluated and the building administrators consider you to be detrimental to that work environment for whatever reason, they can do one of a number of things. But tenure protects your place and the process by which you can be removed. It's, again, just democracy in the workforce. One of the things we need to be careful of here, Dave, and everybody listening to the program this morning, is that when you take away somebody's rights in the workplace, it affects everybody, not just that individual. I had mentioned, and Dave, that was a great call. Thanks so much. 888-552-3595. A new poll out from Real Clear Politics puts Michigan, well, some would say, as a toss-up state. Let's listen to this, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
If you're on a campaign, you more than likely check Real Clear Politics daily. Their electoral map now shows Michigan as a toss-up, which is interesting because the other options are lean Obama or lean Romney. Tonight, the national people handicapping this race now see this state as being too close to call, an assessment Michigan Democratic Party Chair Mark Brewer doesn't believe.
The Obama campaign never really left Michigan. They've had a constant presence here ever since the 08 campaign. 24 offices around the state, lots of paid staff, but even more important, thousands and thousands of dedicated volunteers.
Brewer's skepticism is matched by jubilation over at the Romney campaign. They do believe it and are playing to win here.
We have knocked on, you know, 150,000 doors on a Saturday. It's incredible. We've hit our 2 millionth voter contact here in Michigan, and I think, you know, we had Paul Ryan here on Monday and Romney here today, but it's just really becoming a battleground state, and I think that's just encouraging our grassroots to grow even stronger.
The Obama campaign has said they don't believe it's necessary to devote more resources here, and more than likely we will not see a return of Vice President Biden or the president.
And I'm not buying that necessarily. The campaign is a campaign. If they feel like they need to be here, you know, one of the nice things about a campaign being fluid is you go where you're needed or you go where the squeaky wheel is, because the squeaky wheel does get the grease. And so I wouldn't necessarily make an assumption that the president or vice president won't be back here. Will they be spending much more money here? Probably not. But as Chairman Brewer said, we'll talk about this in the next hour, well, in the 8 o'clock hour, about why that may or may not be. But, you know, clearly, it's tightening up, and nobody expected it not to do that. This supposed bounce after the debates that Mitt Romney got, and there was a small uptick. Now we look at the polls, and we see they're basically where they were at before. I was listening to some political talk on my way in this morning. And they were saying that, you know, Romney's favorability rating is up amongst Republicans. Well, it's about freaking time. It's up 11 points over the last 2 weeks. Well, again, it's about freaking time. And it's not like the Republicans have any other choices. If whatever they were waiting for, why do you wait this long to support who was early on your presumptive nominee? Because I think a lot of them expected somebody else to step up. You'll remember those conversations on this very program. Would somebody else step up to challenge Romney? And I'm assuming that that conversation happened behind closed doors and that there was some serious threat and or challenge to the former governor of Massachusetts, and that they just didn't pull the trigger on it for whatever reason. It was probably just too little, way too late. But if a Jeb Bush, I'm not going to suggest Chris Christie would be any better, because the guy has been way out there. I mean, he's way out there, loves to bash on President Obama, and normally does it without any fact and basis. But again, as we've said so many times on the show, why worry about the facts when lies do quite nicely for you? And that's sadly the truth and the reality. All right, as we get ready to wrap things up in this hour, I want to remind you, we have a great show lined up for you today. Kevin Holley and John Freeman in the next hour. Mark Brewer and Christine Berry in the 8 o'clock hour. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got a candidate by the name of Dorian Costin, and we have Joe Rahm, an environmentalist, and on top of that, we will visit with Larry Daniels, who is the national president of the of PPAN, which stands for the Plant Protection Association National. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Happy Monday to you. Again, congratulations to the Tigers, the Lions, the University of Michigan. Sorry, State fans. It just didn't work out for you this weekend, and with any luck, it won't work out for you next weekend, but we'll just take them as they come. A quick break here before we get there. Just remind you, NBC News is coming up at the top of the hour. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues after we do this.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch. This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's check 75 northbound just before Dix Highway, where they've cleared the accident, but you still got heavy stop-and-go traffic from Eureka Road. 12 Mile Road westbound at Telegraph, accident has your right turn lane blocked. And Telegraph Road northbound at 12 Mile, accident has your right two lanes blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Both presidential candidates are intensely focused on turning in the better performance in tomorrow's second debate. President Obama and Republican challenger Mitt Romney are staying out of the spotlight today. NBC's Tracy Potts says Romney has been appearing at events in Ohio.
Romney's done 34 events in Ohio since the Republican convention, 11 since his last debate. Polls now show President Obama's lead in Ohio narrowed to just over 1 point on average.
Social Security recipients won't be getting big benefit increases next year. Preliminary figures show the annual benefit boost will be between 1 and 2%, which would be among the lowest since automatic adjustments were adopted in 1975. The typical retiree can expect an extra $12 to $24 a month. Pre-trial hearings start today for five men charged with plotting the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others will go before a military judge in Guantanamo Bay. This is NBC News Radio. In a giant leap from more than 24 miles up, a daredevil skydiver shattered the sound barrier Sunday while making the highest jump ever. NBC's Tom Costello says Felix Baumgartner almost hit 834 miles per hour after hopping out of a capsule that had reached an altitude of 128,000 feet above the Earth.
NASA believes there could be real scientific value in this jump, in the cutting-edge spacesuit that allowed him to survive this jump, and the techniques that could, in fact, be used on future commercial or NASA space missions.
Tokyo-based mobile phone company SoftBank has reached a deal to acquire 70% of U.S. wireless carrier Sprint Nextel for $20.1 billion, the largest ever foreign acquisition by a Japanese company. Today is the deadline for most taxpayers who requested a six-month extension to file their taxes. The IRS is urging taxpayers facing today's deadline to double-check their returns and take advantage of electronic filing. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Crosswell, call the Todd Insurance Agency at 810-679-3371.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Morgan Stanley may become a defendant in a lawsuit today brought by the ACLU. New York Times reports the group is accusing Morgan of packaging and reselling mortgage loans made by New Century Financial, a subprime lender. The report says the suit may include allegations Morgan Stanley required New Century to push especially risky loans targeted to African Americans it knew would be unable to pay them off. The assumptions many hold about senior citizens and cell phone usage are wrong. Turns out many more seniors are using cell phones now. And a growing number are going full tilt with data plans. The Pew Research Center finds 70% of those 65 and older own a cell phone. Just 57% did 2 years ago. 16% of the retired set now have data plans on those phones, up from just 7% back in 2009. Stock futures are gaining this hour. S&P futures up 6 points. NASDAQ futures up 16. Dow futures up 42. Most markets in Europe also gaining. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as 1 day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
1. Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. 2. Turns information into insights. 3. Improves efficiency. 4. Easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. 5. Supports online banking. 6. Creates and manages budgets.
Time's up.
What?
6. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And it continues with my next guest. Change is sometimes a very good thing. Going back to our first word this morning, which is supportive, Kevin Holley is certainly worthy of your support moving forward. Good morning to you. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 15th day of October 2012. Before we get to Kevin, I want to share with you, if you weren't with us in the first hour, that immediately after the show, I will be going out to the Michigan Wayne Assembly Plant in support of an informational picket that is going to happen outside the Ford Motor Company's Michigan Assembly Complex in Wayne. If you can join us, it starts at 10. I will be coming out immediately after the show, so I anticipate I'll be there between 10:30 and 10:40. But can we show some love for our brothers and sisters in the Plant Protection Association National, which is being picked on by Ford Motor, who is trying to bust that union that has been in place for 71 years for Ford Motor Company. Again, their national president of PPAN, Larry Daniels, will be with us at 950, a little later on this morning. Let's turn our attention now to our next guest. Many of you will recall that we played an ad on the show, the audio of an ad on the show last week that was produced by the Michigan Republican Party that basically said, Oakland County is better than Wayne County because Wayne County sucks and we don't. Well, that ad was pulled, and in full disclosure, at the request of Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson, who we hope to add to that title very soon, most immediate past executive director of Oakland County. With that said, Kevin Holley joins us now to talk about the real issues. And Kevin, good morning to you. As I said earlier on in the show, these are issues the media is not talking about. These are issues the Patterson campaign isn't talking about. But it certainly is our issues, Kevin Holley, that you've been talking about for months now. Wanted to give you a chance to come on this morning to talk a little bit about that ad, but more importantly, not the ad, but the issues that were represented in that. So thanks for joining us again, Kevin.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for having me. And
it's always my pleasure. I mean, your first response to that ad, I would suggest, was probably like many people. This is probably as nonpartisan an issue as you're going to get in a campaign, because both Democrats and Republicans alike, and perhaps they did you a favor, Kevin, by doing this, but nobody liked that ad, period.
No, it was excessively negative, and I think to try to contrast us to Detroit and Blight and, you know, vacant buildings and malls, I mean, we have all that in Oakland County, too. This is a regional issue. I mean, from Waterford to Coast schools in Farmington to empty office buildings in Troy. I mean, we've got all the same challenges in Oakland County. We should be working together on this stuff.
Yeah, and I think the reason that this kind of picked my interest, certainly, and we had posted to our Facebook page on Saturday morning a video that your campaign put out, which was really well done and just kind of reiterated the points that you were just making, Kevin Holley. But as we take a look at the reality of what's happening in Oakland County, I'm going to repeat what I just said. These are issues you've been talking about for many months now. It's just the media and the Brooks Peterson campaign seem to be, I don't know, in some kind of collusion, because nobody else is talking about the reality of what's happening there in Oakland County.
Well, and really the fact that this ad was even released gave the media an opportunity to revisit some of these issues, because we have been talking about them for 9 months, that these challenges exist, and you know, you've got two parts of the problem. One, nobody in the Peterson administration is even talking about them or acknowledging them or admitting they exist, and if you don't acknowledge that they exist, it's no surprise that they presented no solutions. So that's what the press should have picked up on.
Well, you would think, but again, it doesn't happen. You know, of the facts, and again, I want to reiterate and underscore facts. Oakland County, you said, has lost 175,000 jobs in the last decade. Median household income is down dramatically. Property values have plummeted. Our landscape is dotted with empty malls and buildings, and we have an administration that not only actively encourages a pay-to-play culture, but participates in it as well. What do you mean by a pay-to-play culture, Kevin Holley?
Well, if you look at the donations that have been received by the Peterson administration, you know, over the last decade, the vast majority of the donations are related to contracts that the county has provided. So they're either individual contributors or businesses that have contributed from PACs that have some relationship with the county. You know, our campaign this year has really been driven by individual donors, more than 400 of them. And, you know, what we're competing against are folks that have bigger dollars and have every incentive to keep the current administration in control.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, because we, you know, I mentioned that Brooks Peterson asked for that ad to be pulled, but you have a theory on this that actually makes a great deal of sense, a theory that nobody else has really kind of latched onto, with the exception of those that are following your campaign, that are supporting you, and perhaps me and you. And that is, the reason that Brooks wanted these ads pulled is because, well, for what you just said, the same things that are happening in Detroit are happening in Oakland County.
Right, and I guess my thought was, if these kept rolling out there, people would do more comparisons to the little video piece we did of Oakland County and really start providing a compare and contrast to what we're seeing out there. So I think Brooks Peterson had no real incentive, given the initial pushback, of course, to keep these rolling. Now, I also have a problem believing that he had nothing or that he had no knowledge that these ads were coming out. I mean, they disavowed the ad and talked about it being produced by an independent entity. Well, I don't really think the Michigan GOP is an independent entity. I mean, they don't do anything unless Brooks Peterson knows about it.
Well, you make a profoundly good point. Brooks Peterson is considered, in Oakland County anyway, if not throughout the state or the region, Mr. Republican. I mean, he's the one that decided who was going to run against whoever the Democrats are going to put up in the 11th Congressional District. It was the smoky room, or perhaps the scotch-filled room that Brooks Patterson controlled that makes these decisions, Kevin Holley. And for us to ignore that that reality is true would be, of course, wrong. And, yeah, you make, again, another good point that there's no way Brooks didn't know this ad was coming out. It's not like the Michigan Republican Party went, well, Brooks is convalescing, so we're going to pull one over on him. I don't believe that as much as you don't believe that.
Yeah, you know, and they are supposed to act independently when they're making expenditures on the state level, but that doesn't mean that campaigns and local parties aren't aware of the plan and the ideas that are being put forth. You know, it's out there. You know he's engaged in this process.
Yeah, and let's look at how this happened. The ads were asked to be pulled almost immediately, yet they waited a full day before they finally, maybe it was a little short of a full day, to finally decide to pull them. This sounds like strategy to me. It doesn't sound like a reaction or response.
No, and I think if you were to ask other folks that have been in politics for a long time, they would say all these things are planned. You know, you get a chance to run your ad, and frankly, by pulling it, it's still getting run over and over again on the internet, and they're not having to pay a penny to get the TV airtime for it. So it's not like this ad goes away. You can go in online now and find it anytime you want.
Oh, that's true. You're right. It doesn't go away, and that's where people are going. So you're right. They will go online, and I'm sure that if it wouldn't take a whole lot to research this, that there are a lot of Republicans that posted that add to their Facebook page or Twitter or some other kind of internet media, because that's really the way we move information today, and that's why the internet has become a very legitimate place to advertise. People are certainly used to going there. Well, Kevin, as we take a serious look moving forward, I need to get to kind of caught up on a few things. You had asked the Patterson campaign for a series of debates. Mr. Patterson, or perhaps it was the campaign, said he doesn't deserve one. I don't know how to read that because you're a legitimate candidate. How is it that you haven't earned a debate?
Well, and frankly, we were just shocked by that comment. I mean, for one thing, and it's not the other candidate or it's not the incumbent that gets to decide who deserves a debate or if there should be debates. I mean, everybody deserves a debate, and when I say everybody, that's the voters. I mean, the voters deserve the debate. This is about transparency, it's about the process, and we've got some serious issues in Oakland County. So we were just shocked by that comment. I would have been more inclined to be understanding or sympathetic had they said, you know, Mr. Patterson's in a position where he's simply not able to debate physically, given the health situation. I can certainly understand that. I mean, we wish him all the best, but at least be transparent. And then the flip side of that, they should be helping the citizens at least set up some kind of a community forum. I mean, offer a surrogate. Get out there and offer somebody to be at the table so we can talk about these issues.
Well, you know, Kevin Holley, it makes you wonder, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, does Brooks have, you know, somebody running the county forum? What decisions is he making? Now, let's be mindful. He still hasn't been seen publicly, and for whatever reason, I'm sure he doesn't look all that great. He was in a very serious accident, and like you said, you know, we certainly support his convalescing and healing and want him to get better. We would want anybody to get better in that situation. We're up against the break. Kevin, stay with us a little longer. A couple more questions for you. Kevin Holley, Democrat running in Oakland County against L. Brooks Patterson, deserves your support. Holley4Executive.com. That's Holley4Executive.com. Do what I did. Send a small donation. It helps make a difference. As Kevin just said, 400 individual donors, folks, in a campaign like this, that's huge. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roads. 12-mile road westbound at Telegraph. We still have that accident that has your right turn lane blocked. And also on Telegraph Road northbound at 12-mile, accident has your right two lanes blocked. Now, we got traffic lights not working on Maple Road east of Woodward, so you please use caution in that area. That's due to a power outage there. Also, we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Barross, and more slow traffic on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
First shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now is Steve Griffin, president and CEO of Veritas Entertainment.
Well, I think they're trying to defend the freedoms that we take for granted here in this nation. And this is not a Democrat or a Republic, a conservative or a liberal. This is about freedom. And I think freedom is something that we overlook because we've got bigger issues like the budget to deal with, or we've got this political race to deal with. But what undergirds this great nation, in my opinion, is freedom. And that's freedom for your neighbors that you break bread with, and that's freedom down here in the South for the people that want to go to church and still want to pray in schools.
On 1310 WDTW. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest, Kevin Holley, Democrat running for Oakland County Executive and obviously Oakland County. Brooks Patterson campaign has refused to recognize the Holley campaign except, frankly, to insult them, including what I consider to be one of the biggest slights of any campaign in criticizing Kevin and his family, not understanding the dynamic of the relationship by claiming that Kevin didn't own property in Oakland County. It just goes to show you the homophobic ways in which the Patterson campaign conducts themselves. You know, Kevin, let me suggest that maybe what you should do is send the Patterson campaign a message that says, as an example, on October 25th, there will be a debate, and it's going to be here, and a podium will be set up, and whether you choose to participate or not is entirely up to you, but I will be there and I'll be talking about issues. Yeah, it's just a thought.
Well, and that's honestly what our next step was going to be at this point, is to offer a couple of opportunities. We outlined several different issues that we thought that we should address as part of the debate process. And I think the next step is to simply set up community opportunities where people can come by and have an opportunity to talk about those issues. Certainly would, you know, invite a surrogate from the Patterson campaign and, you know, let's talk about the issues.
Well, you know, again, if the problem is that, you know, and I'm not being disrespectful here, let me just be upfront about this. If the problem is that Brooks can't stand for 2 hours, I'm sure you have no problem sitting down and doing this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think for me, the more important issue is that I have a chance to talk directly to Brooks, and the two of us get to talk about it, because it all goes back to the voters getting to see what both of us are talking about. I mean, I've had many people posit the idea that, well, having Brooks out of the campaign has been helpful for me. I actually think it's been a detriment, because without him out there at the table, it's been easier for the media to ignore the race. And I do feel like that our campaign's been the only campaign talking about the issues to move the county forward and really offering some new suggestions and new ideas. There's not one single new thing coming out of the Patterson administration as reflected both in their budget and their campaign statements. It's just the same old, same old.
Well, we'll point out that there are problems. Again, I'm not going to bullet point them, but, you know, not every one of them, but it's jobs, it's empty office buildings, it's troubles with the schools, it's an incredible insult to the people in the under-impoverished parts of Oakland County, including, you know, Pontiac and some of the other points throughout the city or throughout the Oakland County. And, you know, Kevin, it's just, I think, very fair to have an open, honest exchange of ideas and let the people decide for themselves, which ultimately they would do. But you're right. I think it has become a little too easy for the media to ignore a race, because until somebody engages Brooks and you at the same time, well, it is what it is. I don't know. I'm just concerned. Somebody's working as hard as you're working, been able to accomplish what you've accomplished in really a very short period of time. You know, I'll remind people, you're out there literally on your, you know, on your own or with your family. I know you like to bring the kids door knocking. But you've been doing this now for months. This is not new, and you just want the same opportunity with any other candidate would get, at least, you know, engage us, if you will, in debate negotiations, make it look like you are trying to do something. I just don't understand why they ignore you. I truly don't, Kevin.
Well, and we have been out there for 9 months knocking doors, and I think the thing that keeps us going and keeps the staff and the volunteers invigorated is the fact that when we're out knocking doors, again, you know, there's 700,000 households in the county, but I'm quite confident that we're going to win every precinct that we've been out knocking doors in, because we're delivering a message, people are engaging on the issues, we're able to talk face-to-face and really demonstrate the new ideas that we've been kind of putting on the table. We want an opportunity to leverage that, in the meantime, we're going to keep knocking doors and keep reaching out to voters.
Well, 22 days left, as I think you probably know better than most people, 22 days left until the election. Obviously, strategy moving forward is really not to change a whole lot of what you're doing, because it seems to be working, I would think.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the messaging, we're kind of doing a summary in our minds late last night as we move forward to this week, and you know, the messaging has been dead on. That continues to be well received out there. We've been very targeted about trying to reach out to precincts where we think the voters are swing voters and interested in these ideas, and we'll keep marching along that strategy.
How is your partner and your kids handling the campaign, Kevin?
Well, you know, they are well aware that there are 22 days left. It's been a long year, but this is an investment we all talked about initially before we got in the race. And, you know, you never understand the full extent of the time that is consumed in a process like this until you get into it. And I've spent my career never doing anything halfway. So it's a joke in our family, you know, if it's a holly doing it, you know it's going to be a full-time effort. And so that obviously put some time constraints on family time as well, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we're feeling good about the last 3 weeks.
Well, you're right. No matter what the end result is, you can always, I mean, no matter what the result is, you can say you did an honest campaign, that you were able to raise issues that mattered to people, and that, you know, ultimately, you know, you did the right thing. Not everybody can say that, which is obvious, because your opponent certainly won't be able to say that. He has not run an honest campaign. You can't hide in plain sight, which is really what he's doing. And the accomplice, totally my opinion, the accomplice in all this is the quote-unquote mainstream media. And, you know, Kevin, I don't pretend to be anything but the partisan hack that I am. But at least we give equal opportunity, as we have, you know, tried to reach out to the Patterson campaign. They don't return as much as a phone call. Not that I expect them to. Certainly we try to provide opportunity for all people. I'm just so encouraged by what I know your past record is, how many companies you've turned around. This is something you know how to do. When we first met many, many months ago, these were the reasons that I gave you for wanting to support your campaign, and I still believe them now more than ever since I've got to know you a little bit. Full disclosure, Kevin and I do occasionally talk off the air. The subject of those conversations are private and will stay private. But, Kevin, I believe in you, and I believe in everything you're doing, and I still think you've got a real serious shot at taking this race.
Well, we do see the numbers moving every day, and especially, again, in precincts that we're working. So we're going to keep hammering at it and chipping away. And if the turnout is what we think it's going to be, kind of on a global basis, we're going to be right there.
All right. Well, Kevin, we are just out of time for today. We will, of course, be checking in with you much sooner than later. Howley4Executive.com. If you've got a few dollars, send them. If you've got a few hours, use them on the Howley4Executive.com campaign. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Kevin Howley, once again. A quick break, and when we continue, John Freeman from Know Your Care. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your roads, 12-mile road westbound at Telegraph. We still have that accident that has your right turn lane blocked. And also on Telegraph Road northbound at 12-mile, accident has your right two lanes blocked. Now, we got traffic lights not working on Maple Road east of Woodward, so you please use caution in that area. That's due to a power outage there. Also, we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Maross, and more slow traffic on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Sunday, October 7th, marked the 11th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, which has become America's longest war. Veterans held a rally that night at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Plaza in Manhattan to call for an end to that war and all U.S. wars of aggression. WIN's Melinda Tuhus was there.
About 100 veterans and their supporters gathered at sunset on the concrete plaza under skyscrapers in the city's financial district. Some were in military fatigues, while others were in civilian clothes, wearing caps marking them as members of Veterans for Peace, which sponsored the event. Several veterans told stories of the death and destruction wreaked on both civilians in war zones and on warriors themselves, who, when they survive war physically, often suffer terrible psychological scars, resulting in a rising suicide rate. Others spoke of the waste and treasure and lost opportunities. 22-year Army veteran Diane Messer noted what she called the obscene trillions of dollars spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I'm here to end these bloody wars, and I mean that literally and figuratively. It's a travesty what we are doing to this nation and to the people who are compelled to serve. We could have everything we need, everyone covered with health care, education up through college level. we could take care of all of our needs. Everyone could have a job. Everyone could have a home. Everything we need for this country and to care for it in every way, the environment, would all be possible if we ended war.
Another veteran who served in Iraq said his debilitating post-traumatic stress sent him to seek help from the Veterans Administration, where he was told he'd have to wait 30 to 60 days to see a psychiatrist because the VA budget doesn't cover the need. One city is giving voters a chance to weigh in on the cost of war. New Haven, Connecticut, has a non-binding resolution on the ballot in November. Henry Lowendorf with the Greater New Haven Peace Council says 57% of the federal discretionary budget, that's outside of spending on entitlement programs, goes to the military, while everything else, education, housing, agriculture, environment, energy, must come from the remaining 43%.
And the referendum basically says, cut the military budget and put the money into human needs. What we could have instead of so much money on the military, we could have more elementary school teachers. We could have more policemen. We could have more firemen. We could put more kids in daycare. We could give students more college scholarships. We could provide solar panels for housing.
The referendum is non-binding, but Lowendorf hopes it will pass and will send a message to Connecticut's members of Congress about prioritizing human needs.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, the Affordable Care Act, you know, we have been focusing on it quite a bit on the show. In fact, come January, the name of the group is escaping me immediately, but I'll be headed off to a conference to talk these issues. They're going to have a radio row there, and we will be broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. come January on these issues. But joining us now is John Freeman. John is, of course, no stranger to the show at this point. He's the state director for Know Your Care. They can be found at knowyourcare.org. And today, by the way, is the first day of open enrollment for Medicare. So for those of you in the audience that are involved in Medicare or that you have somebody in your life that is, and that would be all of us, you need to hear what we have to talk about today. So let's welcome back to First Shift, John Freeman. John, it's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, for having me on your program. And I think the organization's conference is Families USA.
It is Families USA. Thank you. And I'm hoping you'll be there as well.
Well, it's a great conference, and I hope I can. I have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward. They just reached out to me a few weeks ago and invited me to come do the show from there. And anytime we can educate the audience, John, which is the point of what we've got you here for today, let's talk about what today means for seniors especially.
Well, today, as you said, Tony, is the first day of the open enrollment period, which lasts from today till December 7th. So this is the opportunity that seniors that just turned 65 or seniors want to revisit their Medicare Advantage plan or their Medicare prescription drug plan, they have an opportunity to switch if they want to. So this is just an important period of time that gives us a chance to reflect upon what Medicare means to seniors and how Medicare strengthens our country's healthcare network.
Well, you know, and obviously that ties in nicely with the Affordable Care Act because, John, the last time we had you on, one of the constituencies that has benefited greatly from the ACA is senior citizens, especially as it relates to preventive care and that all infamous donut hole that I think is slowly beginning to close. How does this, how does the Affordable Care Act affect the decisions people should make this year?
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony. The Affordable Care Act is, in fact, strengthening Medicare, and it's providing seniors with more smart benefits that at no extra cost to seniors. You know, preventative care is something that we all understand that just makes intuitive sense, that if we take care of ourselves in advance of getting an illness, then the odds increase that we won't get seriously sick. And so this applies to seniors as well. And so, you know, the Affordable Care Act now provides new preventative care benefits within Medicare. It provides new tests for seniors to undergo to be able to diagnose any concerns they may have in advance of actually coming down with the condition. So, for instance, there's bone mass measurement, there's cholesterol and other cardiovascular screenings. For women, there's cervical cancer screenings. For men, there's prostate cancer screenings. There's, HIV, flu, diabetes, colorectal cancer. There's a number of things. So these are all great benefits now that seniors can right now, it's already taken effect, can benefit from.
Well, it's interesting, John Freeman, as we talk about the Affordable Care Act and as I'm listening to you talk this morning, it certainly, I think it's an important conversation to have. We may, 22 days from now, elect a new president. How would a Romney-Ryan plan affect seniors? And maybe that's unfair, but I think it's an important discussion to have. We've heard a lot about voucherizing Medicaid and Medicare. How would a Romney-Ryan ticket affect, especially if they do repeal the Affordable Care Act, the senior citizens that are listening to or others that receive Medicaid benefits, what would it do to them?
Well, I think any senior that's listening to this program should be very concerned if Mitt Romney is elected president because, Paul Ryan has a plan which Romney has endorsed, which would, as you put it, and it's accurate, turn Medicare essentially into a voucher program where seniors would receive a check every year, and then they, in essence, would have to go out on the private insurance market and buy health insurance. And the problem is that the Ryan plan caps off the amount of the check that seniors will get. And so every analysis indicates that if seniors wanted to maintain the same level of benefits that Medicare now provides, seniors would have to shell out another $6,400 per year. So the bottom line is that under the Ryan plan, seniors will see less quality care and probably more expensive care. And this will only hurt seniors' health, and it will cut away all the great benefits that seniors have achieved over the years.
It's interesting, as the vice presidential candidate and congressman from Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, has been traveling with his mother quite a bit. Every time he goes to speak to a group of especially older Americans, he's always got mom with him. I find that kind of odd because although I realize the family has a great deal of money, maybe it doesn't affect them as much, but isn't he kind of shortchanging a message by bringing mom along?
Well, absolutely. I mean, everyone has a mother, and everyone thinks that mothers can do no wrong. So it is ironic that by bringing his mother along, we all think, well, his mother certainly wouldn't lie on behalf of her son. But in essence, that's what's happening, is that Paul Ryan is pulling a fast one by trying to reassure seniors by having his mom there that somehow his proposal will not, in fact, hurt seniors. But it's not the truth. The truth is that if the Paul Ryan plan is done, and then we will have a voucher program, and seniors will pay more for care, or if they can't afford to pay more for care, then the level of care they will receive will go down. And this is not what we need for senior citizens in this country.
Well, John Freeman, as we talk about the Affordable Care Act, we talk about, the opening up of signing up for Medicare this morning. And all of the issues that are surrounding it, certainly we could take a look at the Romney-Ryan plan. We call it the Ryan plan, but Mitt Romney has already said that he would endorse and support the changes. We know that they continue to both say that, they would eliminate, repeal. They say replace, but they don't necessarily have a plan to replace what has commonly been referred to as Obamacare, which is the Affordable Care Act. With all of that said, and it was a mouthful, John Freeman, the bottom line for those that receive Medicare on a regular basis, any advantages that you have seen, the Affordable Care Act is not fully implemented yet. Advantages you've seen to this point, if what I'm hearing you say is correct, it would all disappear almost overnight if that's possible.
No, that's exactly right, Tony. And the other things that we have, you mentioned as well, is that, the Affordable Care Act now is closing the donut hole, where seniors who really need medicine, prescription drugs to address their conditions, under President Obama, they're closing the donut hole, which is saving currently. It's already saving seniors about over $4.5 billion a year already for about 5.5 million seniors because the donut hole is gradually getting smaller. What would happen if Mitt Romney was elected president? And if he wants, and he does what he says he will do, which is, you know, change everything, seniors will have to go back and probably pay a ton of money for prescription drugs again. So, you know, the bottom line is that, unfortunately, you know, it's clear to me that Mitt Ryan doesn't really respect seniors all that much. I tend to think that the seniors have worked hard all their lives, raised their families, been the backbone of our communities. They deserve respect in their retirement years. And that's what Medicare essentially does, is give seniors a sense of health care security so in their retirement years they can maintain the highest level of quality of life as possible. But it's clear that under the Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney plan, where they want to turn Medicare into a voucher program, that will not be the case. And so I really encourage seniors to think seriously about whom they're going to support this coming November. And I would, you know, if they like Medicare and they like all the positive changes that are occurring because of the Affordable Care Act, then they should support President Obama.
All right. And you know, John Freeman, for those that are saying, well, the way that they've spelled this out, and they would be Romney and Ryan, is that if you're, you know, under the age of, this only affects you if you're over the age of 55, then everybody's that has been promised Medicare would receive it. Well, that's not true, because if everybody would receive it, then those under the age of 55, when they become eligible, would. But we now know that this is a voucher program, although the word voucher doesn't pull well. They don't use that word. It really is what it is. You would be given basically an allowance. I don't know any other way to put it, John Freeman. And if your health care doesn't fit into the allowance they give you, well, you do have the option, as you do now, of buying a supplemental policy. But the point is, you shouldn't have to do that, and the Affordable Care Act eliminates having to make that choice. To me, this is, John, a no-brainer. And before you answer that, we do have to get to the break here in just a minute, so I'm hoping you can stay with us a little longer.
Of course. I'm glad to stay.
All right, go ahead and respond to what I said.
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And the irony is that in today's New York Times column by Paul Krugman, you know, Paul Ryan was the one to first use the word voucher to describe this program. And so, you know, people in Michigan are familiar with vouchers because the conservatives have always attempted to make education into a voucher program. And the people of Michigan have shown wisdom in rejecting that. And so we need to show the same wisdom in rejecting, you know, the proposal by Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. And the other thing, you know, Tony, in terms of your comment about this only affects 55-year-olds, you know, again, if they repeal the Affordable Care Act, you know, and take away the prescription drug, you know, coverage and get rid of all the preventative, you know, benefit care stuff, that affects seniors right now who are 65.
Absolutely. John, hold that thought. We've got to get to the break. John Freeman, again, the state director, Michigan State Director for Know Your Care. Again, you'll find them online at knowyourcare.org. Steve and Larry, stay where you're at. We'll come to your calls as soon as First Shift continues. But we've got to take a break. Don't punch out yet. We got too much to do before we let you go. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Just to remind you, on the top of the hour, Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Mark Brewer will be my guest. My guest currently joining us is John Freeman, the Michigan State Director of Know Your Care. John, we're going to go to the phones and welcome Stephen Monroe to First Shift. Steve, thanks for giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, my question for John is, at some point, when is reality going to kick into the fact that this program is going bankrupt? You can't spend $4 for every $1 that you collect and expect it to survive. You know, and you might disagree, or we might disagree on Ryan and Mitt Romney's plan, but I haven't heard anything from the other side as far as what they plan to do to save this. You know, and if you want to reference back to Obamacare, that's not going to save the program. It actually makes it worse.
All right. Well, Steve, let's let John Freeman answer that. Thanks for your call. John, it's about you now.
Well, I appreciate the call from Steve. You know, certainly we have to worry about the financing of Medicare. But in fact, you know, with all due respect, Steve, the Affordable Care Act does save over $700 billion to Medicare by stopping overpayments to insurance companies under the Medicare Advantage program. The Medicare Advantage program was put in place by George Bush when Medicare Part D was first enacted, and they included payments to these private insurance programs, which essentially provide Medicare. The federal government pays these payments to these private insurance companies to run these programs. But it turns out that the amount that the federal government is paying is more than is necessary. And so the Affordable Care Act is reducing these overpayments to the insurance companies, which is saving over $700 billion. So this, in fact, saves money for Medicare, which will extend the life of the program for a countless number of years. And so the bottom line is that in terms of the soundness of Medicare, it's on sound financial terms. And what President Obama has done is even make it more sounder by reducing these overpayments.
All right. I appreciate that response, John Freeman. And I understand Steve's concern. We're not naive to the fact that there are some real funding issues with both Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and that does need to be addressed. But as John, as you so poignantly pointed out, the Affordable Care Act actually does begin to deal with this. And, you know, this was, of course, the focus of so much of the two debates, the presidential and the vice presidential debate. This Obama's taking $716 billion out of Medicare, which, of course, he is not doing.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the other thing which Steve didn't mention, but I hope Steve is still listening, is that the other major thing that within the Affordable Care Act to strengthen Medicare is that there's more money now in the budget to crack down on fraud. You know, there's lots of people and they're trying to scam Medicare because it's a huge program. And anytime there's a huge program that the federal government provides, there's always scammers out there trying to, frankly, rip it off. And so there's been a huge crackdown on waste and fraud within Medicare, and Kathy Sebelius and the Attorney General have done a great job. And unfortunately, Michigan is one of those states where there's higher levels of fraud than some other states. And so if you watch the papers carefully, there's all sorts of, every so often there'll be a press statement saying that how such and such a person has been arrested engaging in Medicare fraud. So there's increased amount of that, which is going to save the program money in the long run.
Well, no question. All of that is indeed true. And then, you know, we don't even know what the savings is once the Affordable Care Act is fully operational in regards to preventing disease in young people, therefore preventing disease in middle-aged people. The domino effect is you prevent disease in our senior citizens. And, John, all of a sudden, before you know it, we're no longer treating disease at the rate we once were. Who knows what that cost will be?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the preventative care notion, that philosophy, is run throughout the Affordable Care Act, and it's something that all doctors within the healthcare system understand, which needs to be, you know, really prioritized. And even within Medicare, you know, Medicare now pays for a quote unquote wellness visit so a senior can have a full appointment every year with their doctor to talk about exercise and the role of a healthy, you know, diet in terms of maintaining one's health. And we all know how important, you know, exercise and eating well means in terms of overall health. And so the more seniors embrace exercise, no matter what age they are, it's going to make them healthier, which will save Medicare money in the long run, because this means Medicare will not be spending as much in terms of treating chronic conditions.
Very quickly, John, of course, some of the controversy over the last couple of weeks was Mitt Romney claiming that we already do have a form of a universal health care called emergency room. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. If any hospital receives federal dollars, they have to treat anybody within a nursing room. I mean, the emergency room, excuse me. But the problem is that most people who don't have insurance only go to the emergency room once they're seriously sick. And by that time, it's awfully difficult to treat a person in terms of getting their health back, and it's by far the most expensive to treat someone that way. And hospitals, in fact, rack up a tremendous amount of uncompensated care. In other words, they treat people, they don't get paid back for treating people, and that hospitals have to either absorb the unpaid bills or they pass it on to those of us that have insurance. The bottom line is that hospitals supported the Affordable Care Act because we need to reduce the amount of uncompensated care, because hospitals, you know, cannot continue to operate if they continue to treat people without getting paid. And hospitals in Michigan are critical because they provide lots of jobs and lots of services, whether it's Henry Ford in Detroit or whether it's the Detroit Medical Center or whether it's Beaumont Hospital. So it's really important we strengthen these institutions. And based upon the Affordable Care Act, these hospitals are going to grow even bigger, because now people who actually will get insurance will be able to get care at a regular basis. And so there'll be more people hired within the medical industry, which will help the economy in Michigan be even stronger than it currently is right now.
Well, how wonderful that all is. I mean, you stop and think, John Freeman, about the opportunities that the Affordable Care Act provides for the consumer, also provides for the healthcare industry. I mean, this would be a way to stabilize an industry that, frankly, has been running roughshod for way too many years now. We talked about Medicaid, Medicare fraud. Yeah, it is rampant. You know, one thing that we didn't discuss, and we only have literally a minute left, was that, you know, now, as we talked about the last time you were on, John Freeman, now insurance companies, if they're not spending enough money on patient care, need to write a rebate check, and if they've done that. So, John, there's so much good going on. We just need to stay the course, which makes November 6th all that much more important. John Freeman, again, the executive director of Know Your Care, knowyourcare.com. Org is the website. John, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Tony. And for seniors out there that are still confused about the open enrollment, there's a great website called www.medicare.gov that gives really informative information in easy-to-understand terms.
All right, John, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll visit again. In fact, I know we will. That'll do it for us for this hour. The chairman himself, Mark Brewer, when First Shift continues.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Still watching that accident that has your right turn lane blocked on 12 Mile Road westbound at Telegraph. Also the one on Telegraph Road northbound at 12 Mile. That's blocking your right two lanes. And traffic lights are flashing red in all directions on Rochester Road at 75. The traffic lights are not working on Maple just east of Woodward. So, of course, use caution in those areas. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees. And it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Tribbiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC.
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton Eckert. A new Politico George Washington University battleground poll out this morning shows President Obama leading Republican challenger Mitt Romney by just 1 point. NBC's Peter Alexander says the two will face off again tomorrow night in their second scheduled debate.
A series of these new polls show that this race is basically a coin flip. Nationally, it's effectively tied within the margin of error. And then in those critical swing states, different polls right now say that it could really go either way.
Pre-trial hearings start today for 5 men charged with plotting the 9/11 terror attacks. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 4 others will go before a military judge in Guantanamo Bay. The number of cases involved in the meningitis outbreak in this country is rising. The CDC says 7 more people have been diagnosed with meningitis linked to possibly tainted vials of a steroid medication. The total number of cases now to 205 in 14 states. This is NBC News Radio. Austrian daredevil Felix Baumgartner has some new records under his belt. NBC's Tom Costello says the 43-year-old jumped from a capsule towed by a balloon roughly 24 miles above Roswell, New Mexico.
It was the highest jump ever. He broke the sound barrier as he fell 833 miles per hour, and he broke a YouTube record for the most watched number of live views.
The 2012 Nobel Prize for Economics has gone to two American economists, Alvin Roth of Harvard and Lloyd Shapley, professor emeritus at UCLA. Economists from some of the country's biggest banks and companies say the economy will grow at a faster rate next year. Facebook users are not interested in paying to promote a post. According to a survey, 83% say they will not use a new feature, asking if they want to pay $7 to make sure their post would be viewed by their friends. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer, plus free shipping. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-714-9005. That's 1-800-714-9005.
Confirming reports of late last week, Japan's number three mobile carrier, SoftBank, is buying a controlling stake in the USA's number three mobile carrier, Sprint Nextel. It's a $20 billion cash and stock deal for 70% of Sprint. It's also the biggest acquisition of a non-Japanese company by a Japanese company. General Electric will announce today it's hiring more veterans. While not detailing how many, the Wall Street Journal says GE is making good on a promise it and 75 other companies have made to hire 100,000 veterans by 2020. You've heard and seen the commercials for low-cost cell phone plans designed mainly for seniors. No frills, no data. But research finds seniors are ever bigger users of data, even while service providers remain stuck in the 1990s. Pew Research Center finds 16% of seniors now use data with their phone plans. It was not even half that just 3 years ago. Stock futures are rising ahead of the Wall Street bell. S&P futures gaining 7. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
1. Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. 2. Turns information into insights. 3. Improves efficiency. 4. Easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. 5. Supports online banking. 6. Creates and manages budgets.
Time's up.
What?
6. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Good morning. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the 15th day of October 2012. Hold on to your hats and umbrellas. All you Mary Poppins-like people, it is a blustery day here in Michigan. And, well, we're just going to hold on because we have 22 days to get done what we need to get done. And in this hour, we're going to get to some really great information. I want to, again, thank my good friends and brothers out at Teamsters Local 299. Kevin Moore, president, their general president, James Hoffa, was there yesterday to rally the troops in a special general membership meeting where they were at about capacity in a very large room, which tells me the Teamsters are fully engaged. The majority of the day, at least the time that I spent there, was about Proposal 2, but certainly we talked a great deal about what's happening nationally, statewide, and at the local level, and I feel confident the Teamsters, as they always do, will not just show up, they'll put up. There's no question about that. With that said, let's go ahead and get an introduction and get this hour underway.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This is about the rights of the people of this state to collectively bargain, whether they work in the private sector or the public sector, and it's a right that they should have, and has been under attack here in Michigan and in other states and nationally now for well over a year, and we say it's time to stop that. Let people decide for themselves whether they want to exercise that right. This is not something for the Lansing politicians to take away from people.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And it is that time. We do welcome back to First Shift, as we do every Monday at this time, the chairman himself, Mr. Mark Brewer. Mark, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks for punching back in with us.
Great to be with you again, Tony.
Well, you know, we haven't had a chance to chat since last Thursday's vice presidential debate, and of course, we should probably look a little forward to tomorrow night's presidential debate. But let's start with last Thursday evening, Mark. Your thoughts on Vice President Biden and Congressman Ryan's tête-à-tête?
I thought that the vice president did a great job, really calling out the Ryan Romney plan, whether it's subsidizing Medicare, privatizing Social Security, increasing taxes on the middle class, cutting up for the wealthy. I thought he did a terrific job. But, I know there's been some criticism, particularly by those on the right, of the fact that the vice president, found inappropriate staff occasionally about what he was hearing from the other side. But frankly, I think some of those proposals deserve to be laughed at, and that was the appropriate response by the vice president.
But, and certainly, Mark, we weigh these things differently. The presidential debates are weighed differently than the vice presidential debates. And we all know that the vice presidential debates really are about supporting the person at the top of the ticket. So for the Democrats, that would be the vice president supporting Barack Obama. For the Republicans, that would be Congressman Ryan supporting Mitt Romney, and I thought that, I thought that the vice president took Mr. Ryan to the woodshed, as he should have. We've got to be mindful, Mark. Let's go back to the Republican National Convention when even Fox News said that that Paul Ryan's quote-unquote acceptance speech was marked with nothing but colossal lies. This is a man that needed to be, we needed to remind the country that he's not very truthful.
No, that's right, Tony. I thought there's a very telling moment when they talked about a woman's right to choose, right, and would you defend it? And Ryan basically went silent, and I think that says a lot right there. This is not a ticket, either Romney or Ryan, that's going to defend a woman's right to choose. And we've seen attacks on that right by Republicans not only here in Michigan, but nationally. Making common forms of contraception illegal, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought throughout the debate, the vice president really did hold the Romney-Ryan accountable.
And maybe, Mark, the most poignant point in the entire interview was when Joe Biden turned to the camera and asked the American people to just answer a simple question. Who do you trust on these issues? It was a simple question with obviously a profound repercussion.
Oh, that's right. I think it's very clear, and the poll really backs this up, Tony, but even talking to folks, you see it here all the time, whether it's trusting the president to stick up for their interests, whether they're economic, whether it has to do with foreign policy, whether it's lower taxes, with the auto industry for us here in Michigan. The American people understand that it's the Obama-Biden ticket that's on their side and will be standing up for them, not the Romney Ryan ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of debates, the debates on the debate is over. I'm, of course, referencing Senator Debbie Stabenow and lobbyist Pete Hoekstra, Mark. They have agreed that they're not going to agree to debate at all. Listen, I would I've liked to have seen a debate? Absolutely. Is it fair to the voters? No question that's true. But when you've got a campaign that refuses to even agree on simple things like do we stand up or sit down during the debate, well, you've got issues.
Yeah, Debbie Stabenow is very forthright from the beginning. She, of course, is willing to debate, willing to do the two debates which have been the tradition here at Michigan Senate races, but always threw out a big hoster in the last several weeks are him playing politics, using this whole debate about debates as a way to attack Senator Stabenow. So last week, I think very correctly, Senator Stabenow said enough is enough. I'm willing to debate. These are the forums that we've always used. And if he refuses to engage and to agree to those, then we'll just let the people decide in 2 weeks who's going to be our next United States Senator.
Well, you know, Mark, whether, you know, and to me, this one's pretty simple, but whether you're, you know, 2 points behind or 20 points behind, especially when the incumbent is willing to debate, you find a way to make that work. You need that FaceTime. You need that national statewide, or I'm sorry, not national. You need that statewide exposure. And for the Huckster campaign, not to be able to find common ground on this is almost beyond confusing. I don't get it.
Well, it is the latest in a series of campaign missteps, frankly, by Hoekstra. Going back to that racist Super Bowl ad of earlier this year, you know, the bizarre positions he took during the primary of trying to get rid of our right to vote for senators or saying that the Lilly Ledbetter Act is a nuisance and should be repealed. I mean, this has just been a badly run campaign on top of the four substance. I mean, Pete Hoekstra spent the entire primary catering to the Tea Party, and that has now come back to haunt him. So, yeah, I'm very mystified, Tony, by why a child with his position wouldn't take the two traditional debates and move on.
Well, I don't understand it either. And again, whether we're talking about the national ticket or the statewide ticket for the Senate race, you know, when it comes to debates, you know, I'm even, Mark, we should probably drag briefly into this conversation Brooks Patterson refusing to debate a very serious challenger in Kevin Holley. I mean, you know, these are Republican tactics where they don't want to have to defend their record. And that's just the bottom line. Listen, Pete Hoekstra would have a really hard time explaining his lobbyist salary if that were to come up, and I'm sure it would. You know, Brooks Patterson would have a very hard time defending the status quo. I mean, he hangs everything on that. Well, we still have a AAA credit rating, yet we know jobs are down, median income's down, property values are down. You know, they just don't want to answer the tough questions.
Tony, you make a good point. Maybe that's why Hoekstra doesn't want to debate. I would also add to your list Kerry Bentivoglio, you know, that Tea Party extremist. I mean, he doesn't want people to know that he wants to phase out Medicare and Social Security, that he wants to slash veterans' benefits and the right to vote for United States senators. So I think you're right here. There's a theme here. If you're Hoekstra, if you're Patterson, if you're Bentivoglio, you really don't want to talk about your record and your views, because the more people hear about the truth, the worst you will do.
Yeah, well, you know, Mark, there's no question. Sadly, there's no question all of that is true. Speaking of Kerry Bentivoglio, the Free Press kind of did a, I don't know, I want to call it an article, but it was more of a characterization of him. This guy's almost a cartoon character, Mark, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's really kind of hard to talk about Kerry Bentivoglio with a straight face.
Well, and the Free Press article, I think, brought up, like, Tony, this guy actually believes he is Santa Claus. I mean, he actually believes that. And, you know, it's hard for me to believe that Michigan would send somebody to Congress who acts that way. And that's just on top of his extreme positions. You know, abolishing the right to vote for senators, the veterans' care cuts, Social Security, Medicare, more tax cuts for the rich. I mean, this guy is so on the mainstream, it's so extreme. And again, that's why he's hiding. That's why he won't go to candidate forums. And frankly, it's one of the reasons why Dr. Cash got endorsed by the Free Press yesterday. I'm not going to deserve that on his own merits. But particularly when he's running against a candidate like Bentivoglio, he is not to be the only viable candidate on the ballot. He's the one that people, on a bipartisan basis, should support. We cannot send somebody like Kerry Bentivoglio
with
Congress.
All right, let's pick it up from there when we come back. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Again, you'll find them online at MichiganDems.com. If you've not yet made a contribution to a campaign, one of the campaigns that you can make a contribution to is the Michigan Democratic Party. They share their wealth all over the state, and it's one way to make a profound impact. Your dollars go quite far when you donate to the MDP. All right, a quick break here. Much more to get to. If you've got a question or comment, 888-552-3595.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
But you know, the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
You are accident-free at this time, but you do have heavy stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan and State Street. Also, we got traffic lights flashing red in all directions on Rochester Road at 75, so of course treat that as a four-way stop. Slow traffic on 696 eastbound between the 96-275 exit and Orchard Lake Road. Also slow going on 75 northbound between 696 and 12 Mile, and more slow-moving traffic on 96 eastbound between Newburgh and Merriman Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees. And it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest again is Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Mark, you had mentioned the Free Press endorsement of Dr. Syed Taj yesterday, which was exciting news. Dr. Taj picking up endorsements, the Observer and Eccentric. you know, back in 2006 when I ran, Mark, the Free Press didn't endorse anyone, which I considered to be almost a victory. It's interesting. We know endorsements don't win us elections, but they certainly do win us attention, and this is the kind of attention that a campaign like Dr. Taj's deserves. And you're right. It's not they didn't just give him the endorsement because Kerry Bentivoglio is an odd duck or weird or eccentric or whatever you want to call him. Certainly Dr. Taj is a very serious candidate, but they didn't just endorse Dr. Taj yesterday. Other statewide candidates or congressional candidates fared awfully good in the Free Press yesterday as well.
That's right. Tony, but before I get to that, something you just said reminded me. I want to thank you, because you and others were really after Thad McConnor long before we really learned what we learned in the last 6 months. So I want to take this chance on the air to thank you for your courage standing up to him, because now we know the shenanigans that were going on even back when you were running, Tony. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark.
It's absolutely true. But beyond that, you're right. Steve Pesca endorsed yesterday and just another extreme Tea Partier, Justin Amash out in Grand Rapids. The Free Press also endorsed Gary McDowell against the Tea Partier Dan Beneschek up in the first district. I think there's a theme here, Tony. We see these extreme Tea Party members of Congress or candidates, and it's very important that their views get exposed and the harm that they're doing get exposed. And when they're exposed, we can defeat them.
Well, you know, it's important, Mark. Again, I don't want to put too much emphasis on endorsements or lawn signs, but it's important to know that when you work hard, every now and then, when you work hard, people recognize it. You know, listen, as a candidate, Mark, no one knows this better than you do. As a candidate, it can be a very lonely existence. It's hard to go out there and raise money. It's hard to go out there and win support from the electorate. It's hard even to talk about issues because your words get pushed and pulled and turned and twisted in ways that you don't intend. And so for a major publication like the Detroit Free Press to say yes to Stabenow and yes to McDowell and yes to Pesca and yes to Dan Kildee and yes to Syed Taj means that as a party and really, as an electorate, we're waking up to some new realities that in order to change what needs to be changed and protect what needs to be protected, Democrats seem to fit that bill better than Republicans.
I think that's right, particularly when it comes to the U.S. House. We've seen, again, these radical candidates. Again and again and again, you see the damage that they do to the country, preventing bipartisan compromise in Washington. That's really the president has repeatedly indicated willingness to engage in, and even all the Republicans engage in, but this intractable, this obstructionist Tea Party caucus in the U.S. House, of which Thad McConnor was a member, of which Dan Beneschek is a member, of which Justin Amash is a member, are really preventing a lot of progress in this country. It's time to break their stranglehold on the political process in Washington.
No question. Well, listen, we don't have a lot of time left, and we've got a lot of information yet to get to. I do want to talk, if we can, about Speaker Jay Spolger, because there is ongoing concern, Mark, as he is not being forthcoming about how he's paying for his legal defense. Now, Mark, this has got to start costing him some significant dollars, and I can't even fathom how much it is, but there's a real question here as to where this money is coming from.
That's right, Tony. He's been represented by a lawyer since last spring when the Kent County prosecutor was investigating this, because now there's an ongoing grand jury. And he refuses to disclose which Lansing special interests, which Lansing lobbyists are currying favor with him by secretly paying his legal bills. And then something we took action on last week, we filed a complaint, we're making demands, as are others, that he disclosed this. It's just another example of the ongoing corruption of Jay Spolger.
Well, that's unfortunate, and it's just dead wrong. So let's hope that this gets corrected. And last but not least, Mark, there's a voter hotline. As we know that there are some early, especially in Wayne County, some early voting places, what they're calling early absentee voting going on. So if people want to show up in Wayne County to do that, they can do it. But there is a phone number, Mark, a hotline that's been set up to take calls starting now through Election Day that'll help people that might have questions.
Right. Either answer questions, Tony, or report problems. It's a toll-free number. It's 877-271-1672. People can call that number anytime. It's active now with questions or problems concerning the election process, and we will do our best to help out.
All right. Again, that number, 877-271-1672. We'll get that posted to the Facebook page, and we'll make sure we also get it on the TonyShow.org, where it will live permanently, and at least through Election Day, to make sure that anybody that has any challenges at all, any questions, any comments, needs to report something. You know, Mark, I'm a little concerned because a lot of ballots were already printed when the federal judge lifted what the Secretary of State Ruth Johnson was trying to impose upon all of this with a citizenship checkoff box. So I'm hoping that these city clerks have been able to replace those ballots. And I, again, just don't want people to have to face the confusion as we did on August 7th.
Right. I think, yeah, the clerks have been ordered to either reprint those applications, Tony, or delete, cross out that citizenship requirement. And we're going to stay on top of this. We're going to monitor this. And that's another reason people can call that number if they think they've somehow been disenfranchised because of that citizenship question.
No question. Well, Mark, I, as always, want to thank you for the generous amount of your time each and every Monday morning. We're going to continue to focus. You know, we're 22 days out. There's no question that there's still a great deal of work to do. Again, you don't do this, but I want to remind people, Mark, that if they donate right now to the Michigan Democratic Party, you're able to take that money and spend it on races all over the state where obviously the party and the infrastructure of the party, which is quite large, takes those dollars and spends them in appropriate districts to make sure that we elect as many people as possible. And, Mark, there still is reason to believe that we can take back the House.
Absolutely. I mean, Tony, we are in the middle of a big absentee voter program, and we're starting to turn up our GOTV, get out the vote efforts. So all of those funds will be put to good use, helping Democrats up and down the ticket, including the nonpartisan ticket of Kelly Johnson and McCormick for Supreme Court, get out the vote on Election Day. Just 22 days from today.
All right. Mark Brewer, thanks again so much. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Monday. And with that said, folks, we got to take a break for the bottom of the hour. MichiganDems.com. Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan up next in our blog poll segment, our blog roll segment. You don't want to miss this. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we do have a closure of the northbound 94 service drive just west of Beck Road. That's due to an accident. Still have those traffic lights flashing red in all directions on Rochester Road at 75. And we got slow traffic on westbound 696 between Greenfield and Southfield Road. And also slow moving on eastbound 94 between Warren and 14th Street. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Joining me now is the author of Obama's America, Dr. Ian Riefewicz.
Our friend Mitt Romney has a book called No Apology, The Case for American Greatness. And to me, this sounds like a five-year-old running for president. How can you say that our country is so great that I'll never, ever, ever apologize for it, never, ever, ever? It sounds like the next thing he's going to say, I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue. I mean, it's absurd. You have Barack Obama, and you can look at his statements on any number of examples, but he can talk in his Nobel Prize speech about our our role in the world over time. He praised the tremendously positive things that we've done over the world, like, you know, leading the coalition against Nazism, all these various things. But he also says, but there have been instances where we've made some mistakes. Well, that's very different from I'm never, ever going to apologize. It's recognizing that a country can be great and good and yet imperfect, and it can do better.
On 1310 WDTW.
In Mitt Romney's videoed Boca moment in a Boca Raton mansion, he candidly revealed his nasty little inner millionaire, glibly disparaging 47% of his fellow Americans, quote, who don't pay income taxes. Romney chided them as moochers who are living the life of Riley on Social Security, Medicare, and other government benefits. My job, Mitt assured his audience of fellow millionaires in the mansion, is not to worry about those people. Indeed, those people are now deemed the takers by the right-wing corporate class, while the Mitts among us naturally consider themselves the makers. That's a convenient construct by the 1% invented to rationalize their grabbing of 90% of the nation's income gains. But it's a plutocratic fantasy. The big takers, by far, are the Mittites, the corporate barons and private equity hucksters at the pinnacle of the income pyramid. They don't merely take $100 or so a month in food stamps to help make ends meet. Each of them can milk the tax code and sup at the subsidy trough for millions of dollars in annual government largesse. We saw this in action recently when Romney begrudgingly released a second year of his tax returns. Heavily obscured and manicured by his political henchmen, the amended filing shows that the privileged class is allowed to dodge its tax obligation to America by using loopholes and back-alley routes that subsidize their wealth. Structured income, trust shifting, estate planning, offshore havens, and other tricks are not even known about by regular citizens, much less available to them. This outlandish government largesse is reserved exclusively for the very, very rich. This is Jim Hightower saying, these plutocratic welfare takers living in glass mansions should not be throwing rocks at the rest of us. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock, and of course, it's time for Blog Roll. So instead of just listening to me go on and yammer, let's do an intro and get this thing underway.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's Blog Roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is my secret girlfriend. Okay, not so secret anymore. Christine Berry. She's actually my little sister is what she is. I love you, Christine Berry. How are you today?
I love you too, Tony. You know, 2 weeks is too long of a time.
Yeah, well, you have been very busy with your new job, and of course, you're very engaged in the campaign. My speaking schedule has kept me hopping, but I promise I'm going to call you this week, and we'll get properly caught up, okay?
Okay.
I do miss
you. I'm going to hold you to that. I miss you too, baby.
Absolutely. No. I'll do that for sure. I could use a little sanity in my life, and yes, I would choose to call you for that. Well, listen, you're the gun packing mama that I love. And just, well, you know, we talked guns a little while back on the show, and you, of course, let this audience know that you own guns as well. You're not anti-gun, and no need to be. We have a Second Amendment. I believe in the Second Amendment as well as anybody does, as do you. But that doesn't mean that laws should not reflect responsible gun ownership and gun management. But when we take a look at some of the legislation, and in fact, you've got this post up at bloggingformichigan.com right now, it's kind of disturbing what's out there.
Well, it is, especially if you take kind of a long view of it and you don't look at, you know, piece by tiny little piece. Do you want me to go ahead and run through what I put up? And
sure, let's do it.
Talk about these things.
Let's do it. So
if for the listeners who haven't seen the post, this is kind of a list of the House and Senate bills that have gone out over the past 2 years that address, specifically, they address firearms in some way. So I'll kind of run through it. It might sound a little dry at times, but you should get through to the end because it's important stuff here. So the first bill that I looked at was House Bill 5737, and this is regarding drive-by shootings. So it would authorize life sentences for anyone convicted of killing somebody in a drive-by shooting, or it would add 15 to 20 years on a sentence if they hurt the person but didn't kill them. This bill is just sitting in House Judiciary. It's been there since June 13th. I don't know why it's not moving. There's a similar bill that went out in 2011, and this would change drive-by shootings so that they'd be classified as first-degree murder. It came out of the House Judiciary Committee in April of this year, but then it hasn't moved. It hasn't gone anywhere. These are significant, Tony, I think, because they are these are the two bills that most directly concern crime, and they're just sitting there. So I wanted to point that out.
Yeah, and just out of curiosity, with regard to who proposed these bills, were they Democrats or Republicans?
Yes, these are Democratic-sponsored bills. Mm. And, they have co-sponsors, and I don't remember seeing Republicans in there, but I have linked to all of these individually. So if anyone's interested, click on the link. It takes you right to the state site where you can see all the co-sponsors there at the top.
All right, just fair enough. The reason I asked that question is you've got to begin to wonder if there's correlation between which party sponsored the legislation and which party needs to present it and then pass it. So that's the only reason I brought that up. Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah, and we'll see as we go through this that a number of these bills sponsored by Republicans actually passed with Democratic support that I believe probably shouldn't have been there, but we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there. There's another bill, which is kind of an interesting little bill. It's HB 5704, introduced May 30th of this year, that kind of clarifies a state ban on firearm silencers, saying that state ban will not apply to someone who has the appropriate federal license. A friend of mine told me that this has to do with the folks who manufacture firearm silencers. I'm not real clear on it. If any of your listeners know about that, I'd be happy to hear from them. House Bill 5282, this revises restrictions on transporting a pistol. So basically what it does is it says, okay, we're going to change what lawful purposes means. We're going to change what the language not readily accessible means so that it's a lot easier for you to carry a pistol back and forth from certain places. It applies only to non-CPL, and it was passed in the House 95-14 this year, and now it's in Senate Judiciary. And this is one of those bills we can talk about again later, sponsored by a Republican, passed with Democratic support. Another House bill. This went through 2011 bill, House Bill 5064. This is a bill that applies to people who park in parking garages or lots for extended period of time. It allows people parking their cars to keep firearms in their car, even if the garage or the lot doesn't allow it. And it also extends immunity to the parking garage, the parking lot, the establishment owner, in the event that a firearm is stolen from a car that's on their property and then later used in a crime. So that's been sitting in House Judiciary since October of last year. So that one bothers me. I don't think we should be extending immunity to anybody who's going to be having firearms on their property. But here's another one that's interesting.
Now this one's real interesting. So I want people to pay attention to this one, please.
This House Bill 5249, introduced this year in January, addresses the types of firearms that are allowed for deer hunting, and it's deer hunting season only, south of the rifle line. Now, if your listeners don't know what the rifle line is, it's a limited firearms area that applies to the southern part of the Lower Peninsula, and it's a place where if you go deer hunting there, you can't use rifles, you can't use certain types of guns, okay? this bill would open that up. So it would say you can use rifles now. You can use 35 caliber pistols. It is deer season only. And I do have a really good graphic and some background information that I linked to in this post. So if anybody's interested in this, which is kind of interesting, there's a link there. The problem with this is in that area, in that limited firearms area, Tony, all rifles in the area right now are prohibited. If this is passed, then enforcement costs are going to go up. It's going to be more difficult to determine whether somebody who has a rifle is in compliance with the law or not, because right now all rifles are prohibited. So it passed 106-2 in the House, again, Democratic support. Now it's in Senate Outdoor Recreation and Tourism. And it passed the House on September 27th. So I don't know what's going to happen with this bill. It's kind of interesting. So there was a similar bill that was proposed in 2011 in the Senate, and it also sits in the Senate Outdoor Recreation and Tourism. It hasn't had any movement in there since last year.
All right. Well, let's talk about this next one quickly, and then I'm going to ask you, obviously, to stay through the break because the good stuff is yet to come, and this has been pretty good stuff so far. But let's get to the next one quickly, and then I got a couple questions for you.
Okay. We've got a package of three bills introduced in the Senate last year. These are tie-barred together. 780, 781, 791 addresses fake guns, and they say basically you can't brandish a fake firearm, you can't make a fake firearm look real, and you can't make a real one look fake and then present it as a fake. So it defines penalties and whatnot. Now, these were introduced last year, and the last action on these bills was on February 15th. There were some substitutes that were passed by voice vote, but they're still sitting in the Senate, and nothing has happened.
All right, now, Christine, we're, and there are more bills. We're going to talk about them. We'll certainly have a chance to get through them all by the time we let you go today. But, you know, we're sitting here, and we've gone through 7 or 8, maybe even 9 bills so far on gun legislation, and you've got to be asking one of the questions you have to be asking yourself is, why is there so much proposed gun legislation? Do we have a problem that are we not aware of?
I think that we're looking at somebody's long game, okay? And this is why I think people should pay attention to this stuff. Even if they're, you know, you can look at one or two of these bills and you think, okay, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. If you go and look at the legislation, though, on the site, you actually look at the analysis and you look at the people who are lining up to support these bills, these are the same people who are going to line up and support HB 5225. They're doing two things here. They're systematically building, if they get to all these passed little by little, they're systematically building themselves a framework in which they can come back and now say, you know, why don't we just allow all rifles everywhere because it didn't do any harm in the limited firearms area? Why don't we allow 35 caliber pistols everywhere? The ultimate end game here is to allow everything everywhere open carry. And that's why it upsets me to see Democratic support, because I'm wondering, are they seeing the same long game that I'm seeing when I look at this?
Well, I think we can safely say they're not. And that's unfortunate. When you see a vote that's 106-2, now listen, there are some people that are just anti-gun, and I don't know that the two that voted no are anti-gun. I'm not suggesting that, Christine Berry, at all. What I am suggesting is that I don't believe that everybody is looking at the long game. How do you overwhelmingly approve something? And then the other question to be asked is, why does it sit in committee? Why does it go to the Senate and go nowhere? There's a reason this is happening. I'm not suggesting we know what the reason is, but there is a reason it's happening. Let's, Christine, take a very quick break here. When we come back, we're going to walk through some other pieces of legislation. One of them, they're going to blow your freaking mind. I mean, blow your mind. Christine Berry is with us from bloggingformichigan.com. I mean, blow your mind. Wait till we get to it, and it's coming up on the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back. Thank you for listening to 1310 WDTW.
First
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Together we stand. Divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com is my guest. We're doing our blog roll segment this week. Christine, let's just jump right in and continue our discussion on gun legislation. And the next few pieces deal with the definition of a pistol.
Yep, yep. We had, well, on June 25th, Governor Snyder signed a package of bills into law. Three of these Senate bills dealt with how long a firearm has to be considered a pistol. And so it reduced it from 30 inches in length to 26. A pistol is 26 inches or less in length. Everything else is not a pistol. So it impacts some of the, you know, some of the shorter rifles, according to the legislation. There were, you know, some rifles that had to be, you know, dealt with under pistol rules, so that was supposed to deal with this. This legislation does get more significant, though, as we see more and more bills come through that address pistols. So kind of keep that in mind over the next probably few years. The next package of bills were that I included here were a 2011 package of House bills that did kind of the same thing. And they sit in the House Judiciary Committee. I don't know whatever happened to them, but it didn't matter because the other bills were signed into law. Senate Bill 1045 was also signed into law on June 25th by Governor Snyder. And this is the really crazy one. This bill allows a disabled person to carry an unloaded firearm in an off-road vehicle on a state-licensed game bird hunting preserve and to shoot game from the vehicle. So two things to understand right up front. It's only on game bird hunting preserves and shooting game from the vehicle, but the vehicle has to be stopped, okay? This bill was intended to expand hunting opportunities for the veteran community, people who have disabilities. So that kind of sounds reasonable, but the problem, Tony, was that they used the definition of disabled person that is in the Michigan Vehicle Code, and that includes somebody who is blind. So this bill opened up the right for a blind person to hunt from a vehicle. And it is only on, you know, game bird hunting preserves, but that also is where Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face.
I'm just saying.
It's I'm disappointed they didn't include some kind of amendment or substitute that might deal with that. Now, I have a friend who's legally blind but has vision. You know, we know you could be legally blind and still have vision. But when you're hunting, I mean, the idea is to be camouflaged. And there's all kinds of things that are wrong with saying I think a blind person can hunt from a vehicle, and I don't mean any disrespect, but if somebody could explain this to me, why it would make sense to allow that. And, you know, again, Democratic support. I don't understand that.
I don't either. And, you know, I had a brother that was blind. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, Christine, but... you know, and he was technically legally blind, but he only had about 10% of his vision. So he saw shapes and sizes and fuzzy stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, the first thing I thought of when I read this this morning when I got up was about him. I can't even fathom. All right, so it's on a game bird reserve and all that happy stuff, but... You know, why include that? What's the point? I mean, this is it's not about being politically correct. Republicans don't care about political correctness. So what's the point in this? And you have to, again, you have to ask, is this an NRA-directed thing? Is it about, you know, being fair or not wanting to be sued or, you know, keeping stuff out of court? I can't for the life of me figure it out. And the whole definition... Of disabled, inability to walk more than 200 feet without stopping to rest, inability to use one or both legs or feet to walk without the use of a wheelchair, walker, crutch, brace, prosthetic, or other device without another person's assistance, a lung disease or a cardiovascular condition that meets standards prescribed in the code, an arthritic, neurological, or orthopedic condition that severely limits the person's ability to walk, and the persistent reliance upon an oxygen source other than ordinary air. Man, did I start scratching my head on this one.
Yeah, the neurological conditions, you know, that's kind of wide open, too. I mean, you know, there are people who are going to have the right under this law to hunt, and they'll just think, you know what, it just isn't practical for me to do it. I'm not going to do it. Some people have limited disabilities to where they still want to go out and hunt, but simply can't walk from place to place. And so this kind of helps them with that. But, you know, at some point, Tony, all of us on at any point in the gun rights spectrum needs to be able to look at something and go, man, that's stupid. And I don't think that that happened here, and it really should have on the first point that says blindness. So.
Well, and then let's go back to your original point. Why did so many Democrats, and in a lot of these bills, Democrats were almost wholly supportive of them? You know, especially this last provision really confuses me. And you also go on to make the point, and I'll let people go to bloggingformichigan.com and read it for themselves. But you've linked. By the way, this is very well researched and very well cross-referenced. So lots of links to take you to the facts of this. This isn't all opinion. There are a lot of facts that are surrounding this particular post. But you know, there's an interesting link to an Obama versus Romney thread on Michigan Gun Owners Forum, where once again you've got a Democrat in the name of Barack Obama who has done more to strengthen gun laws here in the country and make sure that they remain in the spirit of the Second Amendment against a Republican who has a very wishy-washy record on gun rights. In fact, the big joke last week on the show was he was a lifetime member of the NRA, that's Mitt Romney, when you can buy that for $1,000. And there's a difference between a lifetime member and a lifelong member. And he is not a lifelong member of the NRA. In fact, he's been a lifetime a member, for about a year. He knew what he was doing. With that said, people, I'm sorry, but Republicans are just so hinky when it comes to Democrats. Here, you and I are two pretty partisan people, Christine, both believing in Second Amendment and gun rights. And so it's not that we're opposed to it. We're just opposed to irresponsible gun ownership.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think that the people have the right to own a firearm as defined in the Second Amendment, and we can argue about what it means to infringe or whatever, but the Second Amendment protects our right to own a firearm, just like the First Amendment protects our right to, you know, blog. And, you know, we didn't have blogs around when the Constitution was written, but we understand that we can exercise a right that we have and hurt other people. So we put in place things that, you know, protect society from us exercising these rights that we have. And that's what these, you know, common sense gun legislation is. And I really think if you look at the landscape of what's out there now, Tony, these people are setting up, you know, setting up what they need to tear away thread by thread at that fabric.
Absolutely. Christine, we're just out of time. Bloggingformichigan.com. I will call you this week. My love to you. Let's take the break. Dorian Constant when we continue.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we do have a closure of the northbound 94 service drive just west of Beck Road. That's due to an accident. Still have those traffic lights flashing red in all directions on Rochester Road at 75. And we got slow traffic on westbound 696 between Greenfield and Southfield Road. And also slow moving on eastbound 94 between Warren and 14th Street. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be cloudy and 53 with showers in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees, and it's currently 52 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Tony from First.